Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. We hope you enjoy this week's message from our guest speaker.
Well, good morning, church. For some of you, it was a little harder to go to get up this morning. Yeah, but you made it. Our first service was emptier. And I guess it was to be expected, and probably we'll see some people from 10 going to 11:30, right? Great to see you, and if you're here for the first time, welcome. We pray that God will bless you today. For us as a church, we had an amazing week. It was a busy week, right? It started with a live on Wednesday, and we had a full-packed church. And Charlie and Shannon were here. These are our guests. I'd like to talk about them in a moment. But we had a full house, and they made an altar call for young adults and youth, and it was packed. We had, I don't know how many people were here, but they prayed for over 200 people. It was unreal. And just to see also the prophetic flow and to see the kids be ministered to was phenomenal. So thank you for taking the time. Because I don't know, we were out of here at 10:30, I believe-ish. And so we were tired for both of you. Yeah. And so we had meetings with the elders also, with the staff and with the small group leaders yesterday. And one of the things that we believe in strongly is we believe that God speaks to us. And when we take his word, we believe that it's not just for intellectually to feed our intellect, it's also to move us in the inside. And so we believe that God speaks to us, and when we read the word, we believe that God wants to give us rhemas, illuminate our minds and heart for us to do his will, right? And this is why we have a Hearing God seminar. How many of you've done the Hearing God seminar? Quite a few hands. And so we believe in that. And when it comes to our brother and our sister, when it comes to their ministry, like we had the best time because we were able to hang out with them. But the prophetic and the move of God that we saw through both of you was fantastic. I'm really grateful for couples like you that are willing to serve the churches. And I know that you've been part of the local church for 40-some years now. And you've given yourself in the local church, outside of the local church. And so really, right now, they kind of sacrifice because their home is in Florida. And one time this week, he said, oh, we're going to walk to Best Western. And they walked, and he said it was quite cold. Yeah, it was. He said, it's windy here, it's windy. And this is where I said, welcome to Canada. Yeah. Hey, it's an honor and a privilege to have both of you here. And so, brother, if you want to come and share your heart, that would be amazing. Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, good morning. Good morning. Come on, you lost an hour, but you're gonna get more daylight. Come on. I feel sorry for the motel that we're at. Because I keep our heat set at 28. Oh, dear God. We left 85-degree weather, and we're actually going home to it, so I'm excited about that. But we're no strangers to Canada. We're in about 17 Canadian churches. We've been in these churches for a good 15, 16 years now, from East Coast Canada all over to the West Coast. And we love Canada. We honeymooned in Canada. We took every vacation when the kids were young in Canada because we love roller coasters, and we would go to what is now called Paramount. We had a great time. I want you to meet my wife. Sharon, stand up. We will be married 52 years this May. Glory to God. And I know Jesus is my strength, but she's also my strength and my corrector, okay? She keeps me in line. Glory to God. I want to talk to you this morning. I want to bring a prophetic word to the church. And for lack of a title, Arise Church, this is your hour. And I believe that God is awakening his church. Our world is in a very dark times right now, but we're called to be lights. Come on. We're not called to be, you know, we used to sing that song, "Let this little light of mine shine." We're not a little light. We're a bright light. And God loves us, and he wants us to shine our light wherever we go. And I believe, as I was praying for this word, the Lord said, I'm about to thunder over Winkler. And so that is so cool. But God says, tell you, this is your year of breakthrough. No more crying, no more whining. When people whine, I ask them, you want a little cheese with that wine, okay? No more sorrow, no more retreating, no more dwelling in caves, and no more lost opportunities. I declare the victory of Christ over each and every one of your lives. And it's time for you to start standing up and make some noise. Let the fruit of the Spirit come alive inside of you. When a door opens for breakthrough, be prepared for warfare. What's warfare? You got to go to war. You know, the Bible says sometimes as soon as the word gets dropped in your heart, the enemy is there to try to grab the word before it can even hit the soil. We've got to be on guard. And 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Wow, is that true or what? Warfare takes place at the gates. And this scripture is talking about a door. A door is a gate or a portal that we run through. But it also means that there's a great demonic force as we're running through that gate. And we've got, you know, people go, oh, I don't want to run through the gate because I don't want to fight the enemy. Well, guess what? The enemy's going to be there, but you must remember one very important thing, that when Jesus went to the cross, when he was crucified, he was whipped, he had a crown of thorns put on him, but I'm going to tell you, if you've forgotten or you don't know, that when he went to that cross, he took the sting out of death for us, he took our place on that cross so that you and I would have everlasting life, he would take the sting out of the death, and we have authority over the enemy. Come on now, you've got authority. We've got authority. And there's a cry. You know, as we were walking to the motel and we made the turn and the wind hit us, I've never felt so much pain in my face. And the Lord started to speak to me. You feel that pain? I go, yes, I do, Lord. He goes, that's a cry rising from the streets of this city. A desperate plea for the people of God, that's you and me, to take authority and declare victory over our city, over our homes, over our children, over our schools, and over our government. Come on now. Well, you're a quiet group. That's okay. God declares. Let's get that next slide up there. There we go. God declares, stretch out your spear toward the city, for I'll give it into your hand. I'll never forget years and years ago, we had a spear made for our pastor, Pastor Mike, and we put the spear in his hand, and he pointed the spear to the east of our city, to the west of our city, to the north of our city, to the south of our city, and he declared victory over our city. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We had a nasty city, full of mafia, full of drugs, full of alcohol. And we made that prophetic declaration over our city. Things turned around quickly. You have authority. Take it. Speak, prophesy to your city. Prophesy over your children. Prophesy over your spouse. Prophesy over the government. Prophesy over the schools. Well, I can't prophesy. Yes, you can. That's like saying you can't pray. If you can pray, you can prophesy. You know, people call me, they want a word. Hey, Charlie, got a word for me? Well, you know, sometimes I feel like a vending machine. You put in 50 cents and out comes the word. We got to learn how to hear the voice of God for ourselves. 2026 is going to be a fabulous year in this church. There's a divine appointment for intercession, for revival, and for glory. Wednesday night, I thought for sure Jesus was going to show up. I mean, not just in the presence of Jesus. I thought he was going to walk through the doors. You are a blessed people. Tell your neighbor you're blessed. I have never, Sharon and I, in 42 years of ministry, 26 nations, 250 churches, never seen youth on fire like we saw Wednesday night. You are blessed. So let me give you some points. Point number one, take hold of your spiritual authority and conquer your city, conquer Winkler for Christ. Wow. The battle for your city rages, but victory has already been won on the cross. See, we forget that. We're ambassadors. We're warriors for Christ. And God commands you, stretch out your spear in faith. And I believe, you know, Lena, we met her on the stairway the first day we were here, and I said to her, get ready. This is a year of intercession. And when we intercede, we enforce Calvary's triumph. Intercession shatters strongholds, dismantles lies, and breaks hopeless mindsets that have been chained to generations. Intercession, it pierces the darkness, silence, accusations, and calls forth God's purposes in bloodlines that have only known bondage. I'm not going to be put in bondage anymore. Don't let yourself be put in bondage. And through intercession, cycles get interrupted, prodigals are awakened, and the weary hearts are revived. What seemed permanent is now overturned, and what looked impossible bows to the power of God. Your destiny is forged in the secret place of prayer. Come on now. You can't go through life without prayer. Our pastor taught us, prayer moves the manifest hands of God. Nothing else will move it. You know, people say, I can't hear God's voice. And I ask, do you read your Bible? No. Do you pray? No. Well, hello? How are you going to get to know God? It's time for you and I to start declaring boldly, God is greater than my struggle. God is greater than my adversaries. God is greater than lack. God is greater than sickness. God is greater than disappointment. God is greater than sorrow. God is greater than loneliness. And God is greater than rejection. Come on, don't let these things come on you. You know, when you get saved, I'm going to date myself. When you get saved, God puts a Teflon blessing on you. You know what a Teflon blessing? You know the pots and pans you use? They put a coating on it so things don't stick. God sprays you with the Holy Spirit, which is a Teflon blessing. And when things come on you, they should roll right off of you and not stick. They stick because you allow them to stick. When things are coming against you, call upon the Holy Spirit. You know, you need to prophesy to dry bones. Satan, you're finished. You are defamed at Calvary. You need to declare, strongholds are going to fall in my life. Bondages are going to be shattered in record number. My God says, who he sets free is free indeed. Things are going to be different around here. You need to get ready. Things are going to be different. Because the Holy Spirit's saying, don't get comfortable. We're going to the next level. I've been telling your leaders, I feel it, Sharon feels it. There's a supernatural blessing coming to this house. Supernatural is not like a normal blessing. It's supernatural. We're waiting for the day, aren't we, Sharon? We're waiting for the day to see cancers fall off people. Man, I'm going to tell you how much faith we have. We're trying to get to Brazil because in Brazil, people have actually been raised from the dead. And I don't know about you, I want to see that. Now, there's a couple people I don't think I'd like to see. No, I'm just kidding. You need to speak faith no matter how bad things look. You praise him in the good times, and you praise him in the bad times. God is in the mountaintop experiences, and he's also in the valley. Things are going to be different around here in 2026. You need to start to believe for the impossible because you serve a God who makes impossibilities bow. Come on now. Point number two. An army of youth is rising up in this house. They will transform the battlegrounds. Come on. Look at John Maxwell said this. True success comes only when every generation continues to develop the next generation. You know what that means? We all got a job to do. This generation is hungry. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for more of God? Do you want reality? Do you want integrity? Do you want good character in people? I've interviewed over 100 youth as we travel. And you know what they say to me? I don't care if the musicians pray out of key now and then. I don't care if the pastor stutters. All I want is reality and truth. That's what we have here. And if we don't give it to them, they're going to go somewhere to find it. And they're going to find it in the wrong place. We've got to be careful. You know, Albert Pike, he was discussing legacy, and he says, what we have done for ourselves alone dies with us. What we have done for others and the world remains and is immortal. That's legacy. Legacy is not leaving money behind to people. Legacy is not leaving programs behind to people. Legacy is when you die, when the Lord calls you home, what are people going to say about you? You know, Sharon and I, we want them to say, hey, in their 70s, they still got on airplanes. It went and laid hands on young people and laid hands on the sick and believed that they will recover. That they were so brainwashed for Jesus and so narrow-minded that they could see through a keyhole with both eyes open. That's how we want to be remembered. That's how we want to be remembered. Youth are rising up all around the country. They're marching into schools, they're going into the streets, they're going into the dark alleys of their schools with a prophetic fire on them. You know what? Encourage them. Be there for them. Because their words are starting to drip like rain from a cloud of glory, turning barren ground into rivers of living water that's flowing from Jesus' throne. They're getting rid of fear and doubt. They're getting rid of these things because they're saying, I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm going to speak faith. I'm going to invite my friends to church. I'm going to speak life into my friends. I'm going to create an atmosphere that is shifting so that miracles will explode all around them. As adults, we need to start learning from them. Because God works in mysterious ways. You know, I have some pastor friends of mine, and they're saying, I'm getting discouraged. I say, then sit down with the youth and you'll get encouraged. Church, we are called to connect, to carry compassion, and to touch our cities. The young people understand it already. Can one church change a city? You bet. You bet. Look at Antioch. They hated it. Antioch was horrible. It started to crumble and walls started to fall. But it turned around because certain people brought the presence of God. Disciples multiplied in a single year because believers burned with the gospel of Christ. And if you don't believe me, look it up in Acts 11. As Peter began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on the people. And Peter remembered Jesus' word. John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit. The word says people fell silent. Can you imagine saying to the people of your city that Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit and they fall silent? And the next thing they do, they began to glorify God, saying to the Gentiles, and also God has granted repentance that leads to life. Woo! I'm going to say something to you. I used to like to fish. My dad used to take me fishing. I got news for you. Fish don't jump in the boat. Of course, I was in one church. Guy raised his hand. He goes, I've had fish jump into my boat. I go, what a way to ruin a sermon example. So I had to give him that. But that happens very little. We are called to be fishers of men, women, children. Why? Your prayers and my prayers will rewrite destinies and redirect trajectories of people's lives. You know what? The holding pattern is over with. From heaven's tower, God shouts, Gospel Mission Church, you have been cleared for landing in a new season. It's time. It's time to take hold. Point number three, break the alabaster box. Unleash fresh worship and humility. I'm going to say something to you. You're not only blessed with your youth, but you are blessed with the worship teams that you have in this house. The worship's awesome. We need to worship. Just don't worship in church. Worship in your home. Worship in your car. Why? Because there's a new anointing that breaks forth when you worship the Lord. And you and I, we're anointed, not because we're perfect. We're anointed because we belong to Jesus. Come on now. Remember this. When you said, yes, Lord, come into my heart, you were freed from sin, selfishness, manipulation, control from others, the fear of death, and the constant worry about what other people think about you. I turned 71 in January. When I turned 60, I lost all my filters. I got pastors, they won't even call me anymore because they say stupid things. Because they lack faith, and I call them out on it. Where's your faith? What do you mean, where's my faith? Well, if you're talking that way, you've lost your faith. Then I don't hear anything on the other end of the phone. So I just cross that name off the list, okay? Our list is shrinking, Sharon. Glory to God. But I got to stand before the Lord someday, and I'm going to have to give an account of what I did and didn't do and what I said and what I didn't say. So I'm just going to say it. And if they get upset with me, build a bridge and get over it. Hallelujah. I am not going to apologize for the Word of God, nor should you. Wow. So who's feeding your spirit? Social media or the Word of God? Who are you going to believe? Social media or the Word of God? I'm going to feast on God's words. I'm going to see myself as God sees me. You need to see yourself as God sees you. You're a champion. You're an overcomer. You're winners. We are not losers. We were winners before we even knew it when he went to the cross. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The days of compromise have got to come to an end. We need to start crying out, Lord, we welcome your presence. Lord, we honor your presence. Lord, we're grateful for your presence. Lord, I no longer need to please you in all that I think and do. Listen, there are Christians walking in their life right now thinking, how can I make Jesus love me more? How stupid. Excuse me. You can't make Jesus love you more. He went to the cross. That's how much he loved you. And he said it was finished. So you know what? Stop falling into that trap and start being who God has called you to do. Start reaching people. Last point, number four. Woo, the Shekinah glory falls. Carriers of his presence will arise. The Shekinah glory is one of the most awe-inspiring realities in Scripture. The visible, tangible manifestation of God's holy presence dwelling within his people. I love when the Shekinah glory falls, because if you got anything in the oven, it's going to burn because you ain't going nowhere. Because when the presence of God falls, the people of God cannot move. We've been in churches when the Shekinah glory has fallen, it looks like dead bodies all over the floor, just slain in the spirit. Wow. Look at this. In this year, 2026, as we praise, as we press into deeper worship and intercession, expect the Shekinah glory to fall. A fresh, lingering, transforming, and reviving our lives. Wow. From Exodus on forward, God's glory appeared as a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, leading Israel through the wilderness. Let me tell you something. The Shekinah glory has led Sharon and I through countless wildernesses. When everything, I want to tell you something. I said to my wife once, I just want out of the ministry. I'll go pump gasoline at a gas station if that's what I have to do. I'm done. Come on, we're human. We have those thoughts. And then the Holy Spirit comes and my wife and starts slapping me around. And say, you can't think that way. Wake up. Shake it off. Because when the tabernacle got completed, Moses couldn't enter that tabernacle because the amazingness of the Shekinah glory was so heavy, he could not go in. And I want you to know something. In our wilderness seasons today, the same glory hovers over us, guiding our steps, shielding us from harm. And he declares, I'm with you. I'm for you. Who can come against you? Who can stop you? You're a child bought with the blood of the Lamb. Woo! You got the power. You got the dunamis power that raised Christ from the grave on the third day. It's in you. Got to tap it and believe it. Wow. The Apostle John in John chapter 1, verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Jesus is the ultimate Shekinah glory. God's presence walking among us, healing, delivering, and revealing the Father to us. Jesus took out the inner step. We have direct access to the Father. On the cross, it seemed like all was doomed, but the Shekinah glory rose up on Easter morning and exploded. Now, through the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, tongues of fire rested on believers. Acts 2. The glory no longer confined to a building, but indwelling in people, you and I. And it still dwells in us today. You and I are now the temple, not a building. We're the temples. And we carry the glory of God inside of us. That's why we have to protect ourselves from the enemy coming in and skewing our thinking and skewing our thoughts and getting us to say things we should never say. We are the carriers of God's glory. The glory of God is not carried in today's time by men with poles. The glory is carried by you and I. Whew. He wants his glory to thunder through you, transform you, because when it transforms you and thunders through you, other people see it that don't know the Lord, and they jump on it. The Shekinah glory is not history. The Shekinah glory is your inheritance for today. Our cry should be like David. One thing that I ask, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Come on now. It's time to prepare your heart. It's time to welcome him. It's time to carry his presence wherever you go. You know, people say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Sure you can. It's already inside of you. Flip the switch and activate the gifts that God has put inside of you. Wow. This is your year, folks. This is your year to be conquerors. You, each and every one of you, myself included, are masterpieces in the works in God's hands. Every one of us. Are we finished? Absolutely not. We're all at different stages. But take what God has put in you and run with it. Rise up in prayer. Take your authority. Worship and have an expectation that God is going to come through no matter what your situation looks like. Can I get the musicians up here, please? Learn to stretch out your sphere. Learn to prophesy over those things that need to be prophesied over. For God's sakes, welcome the young people. Welcome what God is doing in their lives. Invite them into your home. Have a meal with them. Share your life story with them, because your testimony, the Bible says, by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Well, my testimony is shameful. Well, turn your shame into fame. Well, I got too many scars. Turn your scars into stars. Break open your alabaster box. Let that sweet smell of his spirit just permeate you. Carry his glory. Why? Because cities will tremble, strongholds will crumble, and revival will roar because the church refuses to be silent. Get your voice off of mute and make a noise. Church is a noisy place. Church is a busy place. Church is a messy place. But it's where God has put us. He doesn't use perfect people. Do you know people won't? I've had them say this to me, Pastor, I won't come to church because I'm not perfect. Well, guess what? Come to our church and you'll fit right in. Because nobody's perfect. Last I checked, my initials aren't JC. Come on now. God is infinitely greater. It's time, folks, to arise and shine. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. This is your hour. Seize it. Don't let it pass you by. Well, I've done horrible things. I've walked away from the Lord. My marriage is a mess, and my kids are a mess. My family's a mess. I don't talk to some of my family. I got unforgiveness in my heart. Jesus says, bring it to the altar. Well, I backslid. No one's going to ever love me again. Jesus loves you. Yeah, but I can't go back to that church. I said some things. You know why prodigals don't return sometimes? Because they're afraid to come back because they think the people will never love them again. Well, I got news for you. If Jesus can love them and forgive them, so can we. Are you going to be a stigma for people not to come back to church? Are you going to be a stigma for people not to come to church because you're trying to paint on a perfect face and you don't have it? You know, I want to tell you something. Up till 14 years ago, I had a painted face. I was an elder, executive pastor, and I kept a painted face. And God put me and Sharon through something that we learned: no more painted faces. Be real. Be who God has made you to be. And just that will win souls. Don't beat them over the head with the Bible. Live a life that reflects the Bible, and you'll see souls won. So everybody just bow your heads right now. Lord God Jesus, I need more of you. Woo, Lord, come and woo, give me a spiritual makeover, Lord. Come and change the oil of my heart. Oh, Lord, get this unforgiveness out of me. I feel like I'm in prison. Oh, Lord, I've said some things to my spouse. I need to make it right. Oh, Lord, what I've done to my children and said to them, oh, Lord, come and touch my heart. Oh, I've walked away from you, Lord. I've walked away. I let someone offend me. And the Bible says offenses will come. It's impossible, but I still let that offense come. And now I don't know if I'm truly walking with you. I don't know if I'm truly saved. If that's you today, and you say, I need to return to the Lord, or I don't know the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior, would you just slip your hand up in the air, please?
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.